Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Spud Shed. Crazy cheap prices on the free Spud Shed app.
Welcome to Sports Day. What a busy day in sport it's been. We've got so much coming your way tonight. Really looking forward to it. Melbourne forward Tom Sparrow is going to join us. Simon Garlick, the CEO of the Freo Football Club, given the announcements that surrounding Fremantle at the moment. What does it mean for Lachie Neale? We'll find out from the man at the top. Brett Phillips to take us through the US Open as that's unfolded. Cameron Britt, the CEO of South Fremantle, given the news of Matthew Parker has been allowed to play. Good on Richmond for allowing that to happen. Matt McElder with Motorsport. Paul Hazelby, big show. Good evening to you.
Yeah, good evening, Carl, and all the listeners out there. Massive show. Some big guests and lots to talk about. I want to start with the Fremantle Dockers, Carl. Are they becoming a destination club? When you hear the news of Lachie Neale wanting to come back to the football club, then one of the all-time greats in Bob Murphy, a great leader of the Western Bulldogs, comes out of his media career to come to Fremantle as the head of high performance with the AFL and the AFLW program. I don't think they're done and dusted yet. I think Jamie Graham is still another target for the Fremantle Dockers. And, of course, hopefully there's a bit at play too when we get to trade week. But things just starting to turn a bit for the Fremantle Dockers. And really the first chance for Longmuir and Garlick to put their stamp on things. Because when they came into the jobs, a lot of people had contracts, players, and also personnel, staff I'm talking about. They inherited what was there. Now they get to put their own fingerprints on it. And I can clearly see that people are starting to want to be part of the Fremantle Football Club.
You know what, it's correct me if I'm wrong, but for me, Fremantle's always been a destination club. I don't know why people say, just because of the lack of success, I suppose, Hayes, and given that, you know, for a large part of the start, but that's changed in more recent times. You know, Fremantle have got themselves to a grand final. They've got the evidence on the board in being able to retain some great players like David Mundy and Matthew Pavich, who come from outside Western Australia, and to see, you know, the long careers of Sandilands and Johnson, McFarlane and Hazelby and Shawnee Mack, and, you know, the position that you guys now hold in our West Australian football community, to see Nathan Fyfe go and win a couple of Brownlow medals now. Like, to me, it's always been a destination club. I don't understand why Fremantle haven't been probably able to attract, and this would be, I suppose, your thinking here, Hayes, and why they haven't been able to attract a lot more non-West Australians to their football club. But you know what? You can apply the same thing to West Coast for mature age players, like Jack Redden they've got, more recently West Coast. But for the most part, a lot of the players that come to both of our clubs, we get them really young and we convince them to stay. It's been more difficult to get players to come into, say, our West Australian football environment and become a destination club when they're a valuable commodity in the market. Now, we can maybe blame our selections for a lot of that and our negotiations for a lot of that and wanting to go back to the draft. And I think Fremantle have been criticised for not going to the draft more often. West Coast certainly had a really strong focus on that, and then Adam Simpson came along and they've started to fill holes with needs. So yeah, I've always valued Fremantle as personally and always promoted Fremantle as a destination club.
Yeah, Lear is a great example too, not coming back here but going to Port Adelaide and fitting the needs and they having the ability to attract that sort of player. And I think sometimes our clubs give up on Victorians or South Australians because they don't think they want to come here and they don't put the work in. A good example right now is Pat Lipinski from the Western Bulldogs. He's not getting a game. They've offered him a 3-year deal. There's talk that he might go to another club, but he really does fit the needs of both of our clubs back here in the West. And I just wonder, with the Western Bulldogs connection, that they might be having some discussions behind closed doors to get a player like that back here too. Not back here, but to the West.
Yeah, I just wonder how the people think. 133882, because we have the ultimate at-home grand final party giveaway, and we've also got a $50 voucher to give away tonight. Now, the callers over the next 2 weeks going to win that ultimate at-home grand final party pack, and it'll be worthwhile winning, everyone, I can tell you that. But Fremantle, do you view them as a destination club? 133882 is our number. Hayes, let's roll through some of the news headlines for Polaris, Australia's number one off-road vehicle brand.
Well, we got the news this morning. The grand final, 5:15 Perth time. It'll be going back into the East Coast at 7:15. There's been a few people that have been a bit disappointed with that, talking about it not being a kid-friendly time over there in Victoria. But normally on a Friday night, it's on at 7:50. And on a Saturday night, it's on at 7:25 or 7:40 over there in Victoria. Yeah, so I don't see the need for them to do that.
Well, I do. See, and this is my problem. And this is why I've always resisted the AFL moving it to a twilight zone when it comes to playing the MCG grand final, which is going to go back to after this year. This is going to be the last time that it's going to be played anywhere else. Well, hopefully. But Hayes, it gets too late for the kids. Now, you're going to have this scenario right now. Let's face it. A 5:15 start, right, is 7:15 into the East Coast, isn't it?
Yeah.
Normally, the grand final's played in the middle of the day. It's done and dusted early, and the kids can go out with their families and enjoy it. So why couldn't have we had something that starts early, another hour or so earlier, so that the kids are not still up at 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, which is when the game's going to finish?
Yeah, look, I think it'll finish at 10 o'clock. It is school holidays over there. And naturally, if you look at football played on a Friday night, now Friday night is our showcase night. And you could even say that about Saturday. What I'm saying is that's normal for all of those kids. That's when we put it on for them to watch. On a Friday night, it doesn't start until 7:50 over there. So if we're worried about the kids,
most of those kids are watching it.
Well, maybe the AFL need to make a complete change on all their time to make that work. But you can't just do it around the kids. I think it has to suit everybody. It first and foremost, I think, has to suit Western Australians. The game is here. It needs to be about the supporters that are there, and then you work in around that. Look, I spoke about maybe closer to 6 o'clock. I'm happy with it. I think it works from a Optus Stadium point of view because of the light show that we can deliver, and many people around the world, not just Australia, will get the chance to view it.
Yeah, I think that there's no doubt about that. Look, I wanted to have the ability for the stadium to shine, but there's still going to be plenty of time for it to shine. And whether it has to shine right from the start is the question marks I have, because she's getting pretty dark out there now, and it's only 6:15. Let's go to the calls. 133-882 is our number tonight. To get Ranger confidence for the price of a quad, visit your local Polaris dealer today. What we do know is that the grand final parade won't go ahead. Thankfully, it's not over a terror threat. It's a COVID-safe environment, and I think that's something that's been paramount right at the top for the AFL, and I commend them for that. The ticketed event at Perth Arena sounds great to me. Let's get the opportunity for as many of our Perth public to get along there, see the team, see the cup, take a pick with it. I think that was something that I saw firsthand at the rugby on the weekend with the Bledisloe Cup. So many of the fans just wanting to have a photo with the Bledisloe Cup, which was a nice touch. But let's go to Pete in Booragoon, who joins us first. G'day, Pete.
G'day, fellas. Yeah, look, I think the Dockers are on the money at the moment. I reckon they're a destination club for at least the next 5 years. And I think any player worth their salt should really be giving them some serious thought.
Yep, I agree with that. I think things are changing. I think where their list profile is at, but I think some of those appointments too, they're certainly handy ones. Simon Garlick's done a good job. You've got Matt Boyd there as well. Bob Murphy today. If they get Jamie Graham across, there's another example of it as well. So I think things are heading in the right direction for the Fremantle Dockers.
Beautiful, Pete. Thanks for your call. Dan in Bunbury. G'day, Dan.
Yeah, g'day, guys. First of all, I hope we don't sell the farm to get Lachie Neal back. I don't think we need to. But just a question on the waffle. There was talk about the Eagles pulling the pin on their team in the waffle, and I just thought, just wanted to know what you guys know about, like, what would be the plan going forward? Because during the glory years of the waffle, like, I grew up on the waffle, you know, sort of in the early 80s, but it was probably at its peak with 8 teams. Now we're at 10 teams, and it's, you know, not what it probably could be or should be. If the Eagles disappeared, would it be right to cull another side and put it back to 8 and sort of have it as an elite competition rather than 10 teams and lots of players that probably shouldn't be there?
Well, it's never going to go back to what it was. I think we all need to accept that. Look, there was an article from John Townsend recently talking about maybe trying to get back to that, and that's probably eliminating the West Coast Eagles reserve side because it hasn't worked that well. But I think they would love to keep it, the West Coast Eagles, and I don't think there's another suitor out there for them to go into an alignment like they did with East Perth and like the Dockers have done with Peel Thunder. The other option is to spread them out amongst all the teams like we did in the past when I was coming through, but I probably don't subscribe to that. I think how it is right now, it's been a good year of waffle footy. The top 5 is looking fantastic. Look, the numbers clearly have dropped off, but whether you have 8 or 9 teams, I don't think it's going to make a big difference to the crowd numbers going back and flocking back like we saw in the past. It's never going to get there. And I know the West Coast Eagles, they want their own team. They want to be more competitive because that's their ability to grow their own players and prepare them better for them to play at AFL level.
Yeah, and I think you only have to look at, say, the VFL and the SANFL. Port Adelaide have their own club, obviously. Adelaide have now got their own club in the SANFL, and there is more clubs gravitating towards the Eagles model in the second, in the second division. You know, you've got Gold Coast have got reserves, you've got GWS have got their reserves, you've got Sydney have got their reserves, Gold Coast have got their reserves. They've all joined the VFL. Sadly, that competition isn't going to get finished, but North Melbourne have got the second side, the Carlton Blues, Collingwood. So you've got Essendon in the VFL. So there are still a few AFL clubs that have alignments, but I think ideally into the future they'd all love to have their own reserve side. And there was some talk that there might even be a reserves national competition at one point, Hayes. Now that would be firmly on the back burner now given the financial environment that we're in the game, but still something that will be talked about, I'm sure, in the future. Richard in Yanjabup. G'day, Richard.
Hi, Carl. I'm trying to think out of the square, and I'm wondering why the AFL aren't allowing Western Australia to have a wonderful parade. But I'm thinking, if they don't, why doesn't WA have a celebration of football? Have all you, Carl, all our wonderful Western Australian players come down the Swan River, round to Optus Stadium, on boats. I think that would showcase Perth and absolutely stick it up the east. We can do things, and I think we can celebrate Western Australian football if the AFL do not want to celebrate football as it should be. I think it's our great.
I don't know that it's that, Richard. I think it's been complicated for the AFL to get to this point in the first place. We still have Victorian clubs that are still locked in quarantine right now, so they're not allowed out actually into our West Australian public. We had the West Coast Eagles only allowed back into our community yesterday after returning from a round 23 match against Brisbane. So we've had all these protocols and restrictions on AFL players, and whoever wins this weekend, Port Adelaide, taking on the Western Bulldogs, if the Western Bulldogs will be given some leniency, but it just means that they're really short on time and the amount of time that then exists for them to be allowed into the community. And I think that, look, the AFL is very conscious of making sure that they remain with the COVID protocols. They don't want anything to go wrong. They don't want to put anyone at risk. And I can understand for them making the decision that they have. I just hope that they do have an event so that at least if people want to get along to it, if it's in our city, that's where there's going to be a large number of people, hopefully, and we can all get along to it. If you want to go along to see the ticketed event, if you want to go and have a picture. And look, if there's some other ideas around that, I like your idea, but it's whether the AFL wants to extend it that far. So, and that's really up to the AFL, but not a bad idea. We need a clearer commitment. On the other side, Melbourne Ford and Tom Sparrow is going to join us. Looking forward to having a yak to him. But if you'd like to join in, $50 voucher tonight, thanks to the Bottle-O. Great range, friendly service, independently owned by the locals. Got to love your local, got to love the Bottle-O. 133-882. And everyone that calls tonight goes in to win our ultimate at-home grand final party pack. Everyone goes into that. Back soon.
Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Welcome back to Sports Day and the hot topic. Who's going to win this weekend between Melbourne and Geelong? We're looking forward to a great game of footy and it's sold out. Hyundai forklifts, the driver's choice that will drive your productivity. I reckon he'd be really happy to be playing in front of a full house. Tommy Sparrow, a bloke who's had to fight for his spot on his side. He'd played only 7 games prior to this season. He's been the medical sub a few times, but he's strung together the last 5 games and joins us here on Sports Day. Tommy, welcome, mate. How are you going?
Good, thanks, mate. How are you?
Going really well indeed. You must be excited getting into this game this weekend against the Cats and in front of a full house. It's just going to be awesome, I'm sure.
Yes, it's very exciting. I'm looking forward to it very much. Pretty nervous already, but it'll be awesome to have a packed house full of fans there and obviously a massive game. So, yeah, very exciting.
And how have you coped, Tommy? Because, mate, you've probably been more of a medical sub in your team this season than most, mate, but you've grasped the opportunity in the last 5 weeks.
Yeah, I have been the medical sub on more than a few occasions now, but I think just try to stay ready the whole time. And when the opportunity does come, I've tried to put my best foot forward. And obviously the last few games I've strung together now, like you said, so it's come at a good time, and I'm just trying to hold my spot at the moment.
Absolutely. 21 disposals and a goal in the last game, because there's a few that want your spot. Jaden Hunt trained well, and also Nathan Jones, James Jordan. There's a lot of depth there trying to push in.
Yeah, there's obviously a lot of good players that are still putting their hand up for selection every single week. Like you said there, Nathan Jones, James Jordan, who's been the medical sub for the last few weeks, all pushing very hard for that same spot. So it just puts an extra premium on performance on game day, and that ultimately helps us get over the line. So it's a win-win situation.
You've got some gun players, but talk us through the selfless nature of this team, the shift that you've seen this year compared to probably the last two seasons.
Yeah, I think the biggest difference would just be our buy into team defence. Obviously, it's been touched on a little bit over the year through our senior players. But I think the buy into what we do without the ball, the selfless acts, the one percenters, I think has gone through the roof. So I think that has really helped us this year and has taken us a long way, and has helped us to get to where we are now.
How important has Mark Williams been since he got to the club, and also his experience? He's been there, he's won a premiership before, also in the finals.
Yeah, it's he's very important for us. He does a lot of work with the young lads like myself and the other second and first year players. And like you said, he's a winner. So he's great to have at the club. He drives really high standards. He's a good character as well. So he brings good spirit to every session that we have.
Given that all the players would have been together for the last game we saw on Friday night between the Giants and the Cats, how did you view it together? Did you go through it? Did you look at strategy throughout the game, or did you just watch it to see who the winner was and then the strategy and obviously the teaching began?
Yeah, no, we didn't do any strategy as the game was being played. We had the game set up through the projector in the meals room at the resort here. But so we all just watched it together. But this week we focused on strategy around the game and what we can do to get over the line against the Cats this week. So it's been pretty full on this week, and we've worked hard, and we've got our plan down pat, I think.
Now, you're one of the young blokes. If you bring in Spargo and Bowie, he's the real young bloke, Trent Rivers. So you're all the blokes that are sort of 18 to 21. And you must, at times, even though you're a teammate, be in awe of a couple of your teammates, because Hayes and I have been talking about Oliver and Petrarca like everybody has when it comes to our world, on how efficient and how effective they've been. They've both got different strengths, as you would probably be well and truly aware. Who do you reckon's been better, mate? Who do you reckon's going to get more votes when it comes to the Brownlow? Come on, we've asked everyone from this question. Come on.
You're going to make me split the two.
Get off the fence.
Oh, they're both amazing players in their own rights. I mean, they're both contested balls. You can hit the scoreboard. Great leaders in their own respects as well. Clary, obviously, more lead by example type, and Track is taking his leadership to a new level. They both just bring so much to the team, and we wouldn't be anywhere near where we are now without those two and a lot of the other young boys, like you said before. So it's combination of moving parts, and it's all worked pretty well so far.
Just back to Jake Bowie, mate, at 18, and to do what he's done and look like a seasoned professional, I mean, that's a credit to him too. With the development program there, from what you've been involved in, who's the bloke that's on the back of the production line here?
So, Choco leads it this year. Got a DNA Academy, so it's the David Neitz Academy, which is the first to third year players. And we do a bit of work with Choco every week. We sit down with him, just have a bit of a chat, and how we can look to improve. It's really fast tracked our development. And obviously, you see players like Jackson, Pickett, Rivers, Bowie, all coming through, look like they're, like you said, veterans who have just, you know, been playing really consistent footy throughout the whole year. And when they get their opportunity, they're ready to play. So it's, the program's been really strong.
What did you do at halftime against the Cats 2 weeks ago? Because you're going to need to do that again on Friday night.
We just changed a few setups and stuff like that. But I mean, we stuck to our game plan the whole time. Our method didn't change. We have faith in our system. And I think in the end, we just ground them down. And like you said, it swung heavily, especially in the last quarter. So I think that just shows the faith that we have in our coaching staff and the way we play.
Yeah, don't think you want to give them 10 goals to halftime this week, though, mate. I wouldn't be looking forward to that. Hey, Tommy, good on you, mate. Good luck. We look forward to calling you in action, and we look forward to getting behind you, as we will here in WA, mate. And we hope that you enjoy the experience. Thanks for having a chat.
Thanks very much, guys. Thanks for having me.
Good on you. Tom Sparrow there from the Melbourne Footy Club. Nice to have a yak to him. Hyundai High Performance Forklifts, the newest name in forklifts, the driver's choice that will drive your productivity. Google Hyundai Forklifts. Now, talking about driving productivity, the Freo Footy Club, we spoke about them as a destination club, 133-882 if you'd like to join us. We're going to have a chat to the CEO of the Freo Football Club, Simon Garlick, next.
Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Righto, let's get into our Freo Focus for Sullivan Logistics, your trusted door-to-door express country freight service. And there's been plenty of great news coming out of the Freo Dockers, including the Robert Murphy joining the Freo Footy Club. Simon Garlick is the man that is the CEO, and he joins us here on Sports Day. Simon, welcome. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, Carl. Thanks for having me on.
Great to have you on the show, mate. And let's start with Bob Murphy. For those that haven't heard, what role has he taken on?
Yeah, really pleased to announce today that Bob's going to be joining the club, Carl, in a role across footy operations and performance, both within our AFLW and AFL programs. So, you know, obviously I've been fortunate enough to know Bob over a long period of time, and he's person of outstanding character and capability, and he's got a pretty unique experience within the game over a long period of time, and he's got a rare ability also just to, you know, bring people together. And this role will be across a number of different functions across both programs, whether they be high performance, coaching, medical, you know, player development and welfare and the like. So being that real conduit to make sure that we're all working together as well as we possibly can, that leadership component as well, and cultural development within the organisation. So it's a pretty wide-ranging role, but specific to footy, and we're really excited to have Bob on board.
You've got Bob, you've got Matt Boyd as well, so it is starting to build up the Western Bulldog influence at the Fremantle Dockers. But what about him as a person? He's a different thinker, isn't he? And he's going to add a different element to the football club.
Yeah, it is, Hayes. And just to clarify as well, Boardy was a JL instigation. They had a close relationship at Collingwood. So I don't want to give any impression of any undue influence. But again, a ripper person who teaches the game incredibly well after an amazing career. So lucky to have Boardy in that capacity as well. But you're right, Bob is a bit of a different thinker. Comes from some different angles, which is great. But as much as anything, Hayes, and you've seen him across your career, a really good footy club person, you know, invests fully, you know, loves the trials and tribulations that come with, you know, a shared motivation to succeed and building something as an organisation where we want to try and achieve something special. So that's what, you know, drives him. And ultimately, in some discussions that we'd had along the way, is what's brought him back to footy. He's really enjoyed his time within the media, and has clearly, you know, got a capability there, and got a great gig with SEN over in Melbourne doing that. But, you know, luckily for us, the draw was pretty strong to come back into the game.
The story of the week, though, has been about Lachie Neale wanting to return to the Fremantle Dockers. How far down the track are you, and are you confident if he does choose Fremantle as his destination club that you can get a deal done?
Yeah, I think it's really important to note, Hayes, at this point that no request to trade has been made as yet. Obviously, you know, there's been reports over the last couple of days that Lachie and his wife are currently considering some really important decisions regarding their future. So that's something that they've got to work through themselves. And with that in mind, and with due respect to all the parties, you know, we're loath to make any really detailed comment at this point in relation to that. Clearly, you know, if it were to occur, and it's hypothetical at this stage, then it's a really exciting prospect based on the player he is and what he's, you know, what he's achieved so far within the game. But that's what it is at the moment in reality, is that hypothetical situation.
Does it fit your list management strategy, a player like that joining the club?
Yeah, it's an interesting thought. Again, Hayes, I mean, the reality is you, if you pull it apart forensically, you know, I think it's well regarded that we've got some strong coverage in that area of inside mids. You know, but the reality is also a player of that ilk and that quality is clearly something that you'd be pretty enthusiastic to look at closely. I think about some of the games that are occurring this weekend when you look at the likes of, you know, Melbourne, the Dogs, who really topped up in the area of midfield depth over the last 12 months. Port, again, just have numerous players coming through in that area. So, you know, like any club, we've got areas that we've got strong coverage in. The back half, we think, you know, injury depending is another area where we're well covered. But having depth in midfield has been shown to be a bit of a premiership trait for clubs in the past. So that's certainly something that we'd consider closely.
As a lot of people have said on this program, though, you just don't want to sell the farm, do you?
Well, like anything, I think, Carl, when you're looking at these types of things, you've got to be really objective about it all. And, you know, our members expect us to be pretty pragmatic about these sort of things. So regardless of who the player is, whether it's potentially someone coming in or by the same token with a player departing, we've got to make decisions that are really objective in relation to the long term. We're clearly, and I think, you know, been on the record strongly, is been hard at the draft in the last few years in particular, and think we've got a core of young talent, and we want to make sure we set ourselves for a long tilt at being competitive rather than you know, something that might get us there for a few years but then drop off again.
Simon, what about Adam Chera? Are there many suitors for him out there at the moment?
We haven't had detailed discussion on that for the moment yet, Hayes. Obviously, Chez has indicated to us and the world are well attuned to the fact that he's indicated that he wants to head back to Victoria. He hasn't nominated a club through himself directly or his management as yet. Obviously, we're hearing reports in relation to a number of different clubs at this point in time. I'll be amazed if a player of Adam's calibre, both from an on-field performance perspective in terms of what he's done so far, but clearly what he's going to do, which is without much doubt. And I think you throw into that the character he is, which is, you know, an absolute rock-solid citizen and someone who adds a lot to the club, that there wouldn't be a significant amount of interest. So still really early in that piece, Hayes, but that'll start to heat up, I'd suggest, in the next, you know, 2 to 3 weeks in particular.
Outside of those two players, do you think you'll be a big player at the trade table this year?
It's amazing, Hayes. You think, you know, just when clubs think they might not be, some things can drop and change things relatively quickly. We've got, you know, a preference to really hit the draft in particular as a priority. Now, clearly the circumstances that might enliven a tilt from that or a slight pivot from that strategy as an overriding philosophy when they're players of outstanding character and capability, so that's something you would consider. But overriding for priority and preferences in and around the draft, and that's what we'll continue focusing on.
Do you get scared off a little bit given what's happened with Adam Chera? I mean, you're only fresh. We've seen it happen before with, say, Des Headland leaving Brisbane, coming back on the other side of the coin to Western Australia. The attraction of home is real for some players. Others don't really care. And you look at David Mundy and Matthew Pavlich, who've carved out magnificent careers at your club. Do you think it's just a horse of a courses policy and you've got to suck it and see to find out?
I think it's absolute balance, Carl. As you said, if we completely understand that, you know, drafting locally where we can is of really high value, and we're really mindful of that. But as you said, if you took it to the absolute extreme, then we might not have had our two games record holders in club icons in Pav and Barra in that sense. So I think, again, it's got to be achieving that real balance. And, you know, if you flip it slightly, while the Adam Chera scenario is clearly in the forefront of our mind and disappointing on a number of levels. You've got to take into account that Andy Brayshaw was taken 3 picks ahead of him in the same draft, and he's just extended for another 4 years. And Andy really does head a group of pretty talented youngsters who hail from interstate who are very committed to what we're doing. So there is risk attached to it. Understand the value in drafting locally, and it's a real priority of ours, but we've got to get the balance right.
How much do you have a say when it comes to your list and your future picks? Do you stick your head in there, or you try and stay away from it?
Oh, very late in the piece is my approach in that regard, Carl. Obviously, I've got a history in footy, and and like to think that I know the game relatively well, but we've got a whole team that are genuine professionals at this, do all the viewings themselves. I might come in late at the piece and certainly ask a number of pointed questions and are interested in as much as the background and the history of the player, you know, innate competitiveness and things like that. But certainly I wouldn't be talking about, you know, the way these young players in particular, who I just haven't had the time viewing, can play in detail. That's up to the people that we employ to do that on a daily basis.
Some signings today from the football club: Nathan Wilson, Bailey Banford and Travis Collier, who gets rewarded on the back of a really good season.
Yeah, and adding to that, Lockie Shields as well too, Hayes, who's extended for a couple of years as well too. So, you know, really pleased to work through that with the players you mentioned. You know, we've obviously made some really hard calls in the last 12 to 18 months in particular, and are working towards a culture and environment that JL and the coaching team are building down there. And the guys you mentioned are really buying into that, and we think have a real opportunity over the next few years to add to what we're trying to achieve.
A story broke this afternoon about Jamie Graham, that there was some interest from the Fremantle Dockers. Can you confirm the interest?
Oh, you'd understand, Hazel, we're talking to a number of different people across the industry. I won't go into any specific individuals or details on that front. We've got a couple of roles that we're looking to fill. Last year, we made a significant amount of change throughout our whole football department. It won't be as pronounced this year. But, you know, you guys are aware, we're looking at filling one, which is the gap left by Cam Shepherd, who finished up after a massive contribution in working across our peel alignment. And there's a couple of other along the way that we're in discussions with a number of parties over in the next few weeks that we'll look to confirm.
Thanks for your time. We appreciate it. Take care.
You're on. Cheers, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Simon Garlick, Freo CEO, lots to cut open there. I'd love to have a yak to you about this. 1-3-8-82 after the break. Just remember that Ultimate Grand Final Home Party Pack is up for grabs. A $50 voucher thanks to the Bottle-O to win tonight. You can join us after this.
Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Join in if you'd like to have a dig. A dial before you dig, the first essential step. You want to have a dig at someone or something. You might be unhappy that the grand final parade is not going to go ahead. You might want to have a crack at the start time, which has been confirmed for the AFL grand final at 5:15. Soccer is playing Vietnam tonight. That starts at 8 p.m. just as our show finishes. We'll keep you up to date on 6PR throughout the night. I know that Todd Johnston will anyway through the night shift. Anouk joins us from Inglewood. G'day.
Hey guys, loving the show, and just want to make the audience jealous by saying I'm making a spicy Luxa soup at the moment, so watch out for that one.
Sounds good. But,
yeah, another spicy bit of insight, I reckon. Lockie Neal, 15 games this year he played. Guess how many he won? 7. He's behind the ledger on that one. Do you reckon the fellas at the Lions are, you know, rubbing it in a bit, saying, we can't win without you guys?
I think it goes to show that
win without you, Lockie,
that all players can be covered, you know? And even midfielders as well. I think when he was out of the team, they won 7 straight. So, you know, you do have coverage. He's an inside mid. He's an important player. Look, he's not the consistent finisher like we see with a few other players like Petrarca and the like, but he's still a wonderful player. You can't hide from that.
No, I don't disagree with that. But my point being is Brisbane don't need him. So they do not need to basically, you know, sell the farm to get... They don't need to do anything. Freo don't need to sell the farm to get him. But if they do, maybe Terra wants to leave. I've got a little bit of a spicy trade idea, just a bit like my Luxa soup. How about Gunston goes to Brisbane to fill the Hipwood void? We get Chera to the Hawks, Lockie Neal to Freo. Everybody's happy.
Gunston's at the wrong age, and he hasn't played for 12 months.
Well, there's some talk of Tom Mitchell, you know, out of the East Coast. So, you know, there's certainly moves that can be made. And what we do know is that in more recent times, there's been far more movement in AFL footy than there's ever been before. Last year was a record when it came to the number of players that moved in the game. They want more flexibility. So it's interesting that they want more flexibility, but they're happy to sign 5-, 6-, and 7-year deals, and then they want to cut them half short. That's the thing that intrigues me. Let's go to Mouse, who joins us. G'day.
Carl and Paul, how are you?
Yeah,
every year there seems to be one club that just rockets up the ladder, and I reckon that could be the Dockers next year. They are building nicely. All they just have to do is overcome their injury curse. If they had a Lockie Neal or something like that, and they have the key forward, they would be right up there. Now, I think the grand final time is probably nearly about right. I would have done quarter to five, but quarter past five. The other time I was at, last week, I told you, Carl, I was at the game. A lot of the kids, when the game started at 10 to 6, were falling asleep. It was freezing cold. So I think quarter past five is my recommended time, and I reckon that would be fantastic. And the other thing is, too, this week, let's get the transport right. They want things at the ground. Open up the outlets. Get the transport right. There was no buses Friday night. The trains were 20 minutes late if they came at all.
And there won't be buses this Friday night either, because it's they're taking up doing all their normal work, their normal work schedules. So there won't be buses again this Friday night either. Just be the train.
But if they want to have events there and things like that, like 61,000 of the game, you got to help people get there. That's my opinion. That's my sense.
Yeah,
they might get the transport right.
I agree with you, but obviously, well, they'll say, well, look, we know there's no buses. You've got to get on the train. There will be buses after the event, because obviously they've finished a lot of their after-work service, but we've still got to get people home, Mouse. Not everyone's going to the footy. So we've still got to be able to service the rest of the community in the process. And I think what we need to get used to is that we need to utilise some of the other forms of transport around town. Now, if it means getting a taxi, or you're not meant to get an Uber, but if it means getting into a taxi and making your way there that way, if you're going to have a few to drink and don't have the ability to drive, then I think we've got to get used to that. In Victoria, they are, and I must say, with the trams, that's something that we probably would love to have here, wouldn't we? If we had the trams, Hayes, just make it so much easier to get to and from venues as it does in Victoria, right?
Yep, that would help. I think we need to get the staffing right this week. Last week, the lines and the shutdown bars, it wasn't acceptable. I think Optus Stadium is on show. We need to get it right this week so that it can be perfect for the AFL Grand Final. That's my dig, Carl. We've got the dig section here. That was one of my small ones.
Yeah, I was looking at it, though. I mean, there's flexi staff advertisements that I was looking at today on Facebook asking for staff, $34 an hour. If you want a job Friday night, then please apply. Because the problem is, mate, there's staff. They're crying out for staff in hospitality everywhere. This is the problem that we've got. $34 an hour on a Friday night, given the number of people that's required at that venue when it's packed. I think it's 3,000 staff that are required to actually make sure that venue functions properly. But if you'd like to have a dig at something, you can. Don't dig yourself into a whole lodge of free dial before your dig inquiry. We'll be back in a moment to tell you what's coming up after 7 o'clock. But we'll take more of your calls, 133-882.
Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Now, coming up after the news that is fast approaching for Spud Shed, download the free Spud Shed app and you sign up, you start saving a spud load. The savings are absolutely amazing. You'll hear that for the next few months, I'm sure. We'll go to the injury report, as we always do on a Tuesday. We'll update to everything else that's happened in sport today. Cameron Britt, the South Fremantle CEO, is going to join us to discuss Matty Parker. Big news that was announced this afternoon that he will be returning to the WAFL. The captains are going to be rolled out for the WAFL ahead of the qualifying and elimination finals. Brett Phillips to talk about the US Tennis Open. There's a lot of youngsters that are making their mark, and there's a few Aussies still in action there too, seeing whether they can win some titles, particularly when it comes to the doubles, and Matt McKeldin to talk some motorsport. If you love your motorsport, there was plenty of action there and plenty of movement too. We'll be back soon.
Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Spud Shed. Crazy cheap prices on the free Spud Shed app.
Carl Langner, Paul Hazelby with you through until 8 o'clock tonight. And that's when the match gets underway between Australia and Vietnam. Just in our sports update, the Bottle-O. Got to love your local, got to love the Bottle-O. So around 52 and a half minutes time, Graham Arnold Socceroos will take on Vietnam there. So we'll keep you up to date with that. England, unbelievable, Hayes. Last night, I was talking about the English, they would start the day at no wicket for 77. They were rolled for 210. That means that India have now taken a 2-1 lead in that series. They won by 157 runs. Some brilliant bowling. I saw a couple of the Yorkers that were bowled by Bumrah. Absolute rippers just cannoning into the stumps.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? Is it India so good because we saw them come here and get the chocolates against us? They now go to England and get the chocolates over there? Or is it England that are struggling a bit? Because in recent times they've been dominant in the shorter formats, but it looks like it may have been at the expense of their test team because they're not performing anywhere near the level that is required, particularly to come here and beat us on home soil with the Ashes.
Well, sadly, without Joe Root, mate, they've become fairly insipid when it comes to their overall batting strength. That would be, I think, a fair assumption. But look, there's no doubt that the Indians are playing with some attitude. They've got some great strengths. Sharma again makes another century at the top of the order, and that was crucial after failing in the first innings of that match. So they had to make a big score in the second innings, which they did. But then, the pressure that they put on last night was unbelievable. So well done to India, and there's a reason why they're at the top of the tree right now in world cricket. The Wallabies have arrived on the Gold Coast to play South Africa on Sunday night after getting their colours lowered here. And while we're on cricket, Hayes, wicketkeeper batsman Callum Sabir of the UAE, banned for 4 years, failing to disclose attempted approaches to engage in corrupt conduct. I could read all of the offences, but simply concealing information, failing to surrender mobile devices, and really not cooperating at all. 4 years, is that enough?
Oh, I don't know all the details about it, but anybody that's involved in corruption in sport, I think it should be a lifetime ban if they're actually proven to be involved with the corruption. If it's just probably not giving the information, well, maybe 4 years is the right answer there. But, Carl, we also had the delistings today from a few clubs. The West Coast Eagles, you've been waiting for these, and Mark Hutchings, Vardy, Archie, as we heard in the news. Jack Redden, I think, is being offered a one-year deal to stay there, but do you think that's about right? And I think Vardy had a chance to stay on. I think both clubs and player discussed that and they were keen for it, but in the end he retired.
Yeah, no, well, I don't think he was staying, so in the end he retired. I'm not so sure that he had a chance to stay there. As for Jack Redden, I thought he was one of the Eagles' more consistent players, to be honest.
Yeah, but absolutely. Always, but I think it's a good sign.
It is, but they've always had a policy, mate, of once you get to 30, it's a one-year deal.
Yep.
It's been happening with Hearn and Kennedy, and they've had a one-year deal for the last two or three years. I think Bunga's had 3 years now, maybe he's 33. So, I don't mind that. I don't mind that strategy, given that you've got to work within the salary cap constraints, and West Coast are paying a fair bit of money to a few others that need to pull their finger out. That's my view.
Yeah, that's what happens. When you make some poorer decisions around your list management, there are players that pay the price for that, and most of the time it's some of the older players like a Jack Redden in this case. But he's still playing some good footy, but it's just going to show that I think all clubs are sharpening up a little bit on the back of the COVID cuts that we've had in recent times, but also the demographic of the West Coast Eagles and their list. They have to be really smart going forward. Just in case things don't go right this year, they're in a position next year to really tighten the screws again and maybe change direction.
Christopher has sent an email. It's directed to you, Paul Hazelby. Hi, Paul. With the WA talent that is available in 2021's draft, maybe the Dockers should trade for next year's first-round pick to get another pick in this year's first round. With the key forward and midfield talent available in WA, we could set up the club for the next decade. In writing this, I have no idea what talent is available in 2022. What do you think?
Yeah, we never know, do we? But there's always a bit coming through. But what we know about this year, the key forward talent is better than it's probably been in a long time here in Western Australia. And Fremantle needs some of that. So I think using their top picks this year should be an absolute must for them on key forwards to really set their club up for the next 10 years. Look, maybe you'd have to get rid of your first round next year for a Lachie Neale to get him in. That may be one option. But I do know that Luke Jackson is out of contract next year. And if he wants to come home, both clubs will be pursuing him hard, and maybe you want to try and stockpile a few for next year for that event.
Yeah, I don't know about if they want to come home. I think you've got to make the offer good so that they want to come home. I think there's a difference here, and I think this is what other clubs do. So that's what I think. If the players got the runs on the board, so to speak, and you think that they fit in, it's a position that you need to fill. I mean, Geelong have been doing it for years, and you know, it's kept them about the place. It hasn't got them the chocolates, the grand prize, because it's been 10 years since they got the grand prize, but they're still in the hunt right now, aren't they? Great range, friendly service, independently owned by the locals. Got to love your local, got to love the bottle. What about the SKG injury report? They care about your welfare. Now Bolt Billing Hayes. We've got four teams going in this weekend. And really, when you have a look at the injury lists, they're not that long, are they, surprisingly?
It is amazing to think there's only probably an average of four from each team that aren't available. We know Brandon Parfitt, his season is done with a hamstring. That's unfortunate for him. The big one is Tom Stewart. Can he get up for the grand final? He's listed as 2 to 3 weeks away, and they do believe he's back training and doing some running. So hope there for the Cats fans at Melbourne. It is unbelievable. Only three injuries: Hoare, Neitzk, and also Adam Tomlinson. The only ones there. The good news is that Jaden Hunt got through training, so he's available. Jones is available. Jordan's available. Some big decisions to be made for the Melbourne Football Club. At Port Adelaide, only three as well: Trent Burgoyne, Kane Fowle, and Tarr Schofield. The players unavailable. Georgiades is good. Fantasia is good. What do you think, Carl? Do you think they'll bring in Georgiades on the back of what you saw in the first final? It's going to be a tough call.
Well, it is going to be a tough call, but Georgiades has been getting a game ahead of Fantasia. And so it's really going to come down to, I think, talls and smalls and the balance of the team. I'd hate to be in Ken Hinckley's position. I mean, it's a good position to be in, having to jostle. And you know, it's like having a chat to Tom Sparrow earlier about all of the players that are in the mix there. So these conversations are going to be hard, but it's that time of year, mate, where you've got to really shine at training and do your best at training to get yourself a spot.
Yep, absolutely. I'd go with Georgiades, because if they get through, they take on Melbourne. I just think you need some key forward presence when you're up against May and Lever. And the Western Bulldogs, Carl, a test for Marcus Bontempelli. Cody Waitman, he's been ruled out. He won't play, but he will be available for the grand final if they get through. He saw Bontempelli, but I expect him to play and recover from that knee.
Yeah, I'm not sure, mate. I saw the way he grabbed that knee, and I reckon it's going to be a big risk. But anyway, maybe one that they're prepared to take, given his quality. Just back to Geelong, we know that Parfitt's out. Do you go for Higgins? Does Sean Higgins get the nod here? Does he make up the other leg of Dad's army, or do they look, say, to a Narkle, who's played a few games in more recent times? He's been one of the first men out of the boat. What do they do here?
I would go with Narkle, because I think he's like for like. You can play him inside mid. We know Higgins hasn't played that role this year, so it's probably got to force somebody, maybe a Duncan on the inside and Higgins on the outside. But if it's me, I like the idea of younger players, a bit more speed, something different. I'd be going for Narkle.
All right. So nice to have your opinion on that particular front. Are you intrigued by the return of Matty Parker? We're going to have a chat in a moment after we have a chat to Brett Phillips, to Cameron Britt. Do you think that's good by the Richmond Footy Club?
Fantastic by the Richmond Football Club. I want to know more details about this, but that's a big win for the South Fremantle Football Club. They've already been playing some good footy. Add in Paddy Parker, all of a sudden they are looking good to go back-to-back.
Yeah, and he deserves his spot back. I mean, he was a regular in the team prior to him getting the opportunity over there at Richmond, so good luck. SKG Radiology, care about your welfare and are now bulk billing Medicare rebatable services across all 20 locations. We need to clear a commitment on the other side. We'll come back and be joined by Brett Phillips from the US Open.
Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Great to have Brett Phillips on the program. Haven't spoken to him during the US Tennis Open, and it's great to get his look and feel across the tournament as we get towards the pointy end. Brett, welcome. How are you?
G'day, Carl. G'day, host. Great to connect.
Now, we are not too far away from the business end of both the men's and the women's singles. Who do you think is going to shine through here?
Wow. I mean, this has been an incredible Grand Slam. I think it's been one of the best slams that I've seen for quite some time. I think, you know, the great Brad Gilbert, no one does a better fist bump than Brad, the former world number four, 40 years in the game. He said it was the best first week of the slam that he's seen. I mean, the stories emerging. I mean, we've got obviously history with Djokovic trying to win the calendar slam. All these 18-year-olds, we've got a couple of qualifiers that have come from the clouds. I mean, look, Djokovic, you know, he's three games away from winning all four majors this year. He's going to be tough to beat, there's no doubt. So Berrettini next, who's met him in the Wimbledon final. They played in the French Open semi, so there's some recent history, albeit different surfaces. But Matteo is, you know, firmly entrenched in the top 10 now with his big serve, big forehand combination. But I think the guy that really will test Djokovic is Alexander Zverev. He's on a 15-match winning streak, the big German. Tokyo gold, Cincinnati, he's looked good here. You know, he was the runner-up to Dominic Thiem in New York 12 months ago, and he might just be the one that can really rattle the cage of Djokovic in a semi-final if it gets to that stage. And you've got to say, Daniil Medvedev, currently the world number two, is an absolute lock on the other side of the draw. I mean, he's looked flawless, hasn't dropped a set, and he's flying under the radar. But, yeah, there's some good stories emerging. How about this 18-year-old from Spain, Carlos Alcaraz? Get behind him. He's box office for the next 15 years. The right-handed Rafael Nadal. He idolised Rafa. He's got another Spanish former world number one, Juan Carlos Ferrero, as his coach. He's power for a guy at 18. He's so physically developed, this kid, and yeah, he's a big chance to make a semi-final.
And they're getting behind him over there. There's no doubt about that. And even on the women's side, some youngsters, Leila Fernandez and Emma Raducanu. So it was all about who wasn't going to be there. But these youngsters, as you mentioned, going pretty well. Do you give those girls a chance?
They're just fearless. Those they're coming out. They've got the baggage of playing these, you know, big-name players that other players have. They're just backing their games in. I love their assuredness out there. I mean, as we know, sport above the shoulders. If you can get a lap right and get yourself in the right frame of mind and have that confidence, you can do anything. And age is only a number. I mean, Emma Raducanu has gone from 338 in the world to 74 in 3 months. Fourth round Wimbledon. She gets a wild card in as a potential hope. And she's having an incredible run. A girl that's combining going to school as well. She's a big chance, I think, to beat Bencic. That's a real opportunity for her in a quarterfinal. And Leila Fernandez, God love her, this lefty from Canada. I mean, when she was asked the other day, when did you think you could beat Naomi Osaka? She said, before the match. Of course, you know, I actually went in believing I could win, not, you know, when I went maybe a set up. So love her inner confidence. Look, she's a chance to possibly beat Svitolina. But I feel like it is perhaps Karolina Pliskova's time. She has been world number one. She's made two Grand Slam finals. She is serving bombs at the moment. I mean, her serving numbers are astronomical. And with no Halep, no Barty, no Osaka, it might just be her chance, as she's now 30, to finally win that elusive major. But there's a bit to play out. The women throw a blanket over and, they're all still a genuine live chance.
Let's talk a bit more about Naomi Osaka. Always looking pretty good. She made some positive comments before the tournament. Then she lost that match. And then there's some uncertainty now about her future in the game. And she's taking another break.
It's a real head scratcher. It's one that's hard to understand, you know, from the outside looking in. Hayes, we know, you know, mental health is a huge subject. And a lot of us haven't quite got our head around, you know, what that is. We may know people that are going through issues. Yeah, you know, she's had a fascinating sort of upbringing, the whole backstory of being homeschooled, maybe not developing those social skills as a young girl. You know, then she's thrust into the spotlight because she can hit a tennis ball. I mean, she's worth an absolute fortune off the court. Endorsements, ambassador roles, left, right and centre that will set her up for the rest of her life. So she's become this public figure who's craving a private life and trying to get the balance between that. And look, no doubt it's affecting her tennis. I mean, she doesn't hide her emotions. You know when she's happy and you know when she's pretty sad. So if her happy place is not in the tennis bubble, then perhaps go away and be in that happy place. You don't have to play professional tennis. You can do whatever you like. I mean, sky's the limit. The doors that can open for her and have already opened at 25 years of age. Tennis doesn't necessarily have to be part of that. We saw Ash Barty take a spell and just be around those who love her the most and have a bit of grounding, and then she found her groove again. Maybe Osaka, you know, can do the same. But, yeah, let's hope she can get things back on track.
The best thing besides some of the young talent coming through has been the crowds at the US Open. Do you think we're headed towards that in Melbourne, and how is planning going with the Australian Open?
Yeah, I hope so. It's been electric compared to New York last year. I mean, I reckon the crowd has been responsible for 5 to 10 victories in this tournament. We've had 33-5 setters, and it's the crowds, it's the players saying, "Crowd, get behind me, come in my corner." It's whatever it's worth. I mean, they've fed off it. I think, look, definitely we're going to have crowds for the Australian Open. I think by the end of the year, we're going to get, obviously, in a better vaccination situation. What's going to be interesting, though, is the players. So the players have been told, and I think the Victorian government here is about to sit down and sign off with Tennis Australia, who will then communicate with the tours. This is what it's going to look like. But from what we understand, the players are probably going to have to come here. If they want freer movement, there won't be the strict 14-day bubble like last year. They will come in and be in a sort of bubble, but be allowed to train and compete in the 2 weeks leading up to the Australian Open. So I think you're going to find, again, everything will just be in Victoria, in one central base, which is such a shame for you guys in Perth and Sydney and Brisbane and Hobart, where the normal Australian summer of tennis is spread. But if the players want freer movement, they're going to have the two jabs. And there's a lot of players. There's probably 50% of both tours who are only vaccinated. There's a lot that aren't and have been pretty vocal about not getting vaccinated. So there's a bit of water to go under the bridge there. If fans are going to come in, and there'll be certainly restrictions there, you're going to have to show at least one dose or possibly two to actually get in the grounds, and the players have got to be in the same category.
Just having a look at some of the other Grand Slam events. Matty Ebden, WA boy. Maxi Purcell into the quarterfinals when it comes to the men's doubles. And Maxi Purcell also in the mixed doubles. So having a good tournament when it comes to partnering up.
Yeah, and Storm Sanders as well from your part of the world. She's in the women's doubles quarters tomorrow. Actually, her partner, Caroline Dolahide, they take on Stoza and Zhang Shuai, who are on an 8-match winning streak at the moment. So an Aussie will definitely get through for Storm. I mean, she made the semis of Wimbledon, the doubles, maybe a chance to get into the last four again, which is absolutely brilliant. So we've got still a few live chances. Johnny Pearce, doubles specialist, Grand Slam champion, who lives in your part of the world these days. Although if you go to Kooyong here, you'll find the whole Pearce family. They regularly eat there and they discuss Johnny's career, big, rich tennis history in that family. And he's through to the quarterfinals as well. So perhaps we'll lift a trophy or two by the end of the week.
Good on you, mate. Thank you very much for sharing some time with us tonight. We really appreciate it. Take care.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Brett Phillips, tennis expert, and he does some great work, and it was fantastic to have his insight on the program here tonight. After the break, when we come back, Cameron Britt, the CEO of the South Fremantle Footy Club, some big news. Matty Parker is back. We've had the announcement just recently, the Perth Glory are going down to share some facilities down there with South Fremantle. We'll find out more about that relationship next here on Sports Day.
Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Welcome back to Sports Day, and it's fantastic to have the CEO of the South Fremantle Football Club and Cameron Britt here on Sports Day. Cam, welcome. How are you, mate?
I'm very well, gents. Thanks for having me on.
Looking forward to, firstly, the big qualifying final that's coming up this weekend against the Claremont Football Club. It's been a ripping footy season. So tight at the top and very, very little separating the top four or five teams this year.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. It's been one of those seasons, actually, probably as tight as we've seen for some time in Waffle. But we're into the business end stuff. Spring footy, sun's out, grass is cut, all the things we love about September footy and finals action. And yeah, we take on Claremont here on Saturday at Fremantle Community Bank Oval, which has been the scene of some real dogfights between the two of us in recent times.
Oh, absolutely. None bigger than last year, getting over the line by 3 points in an epic clash. But the grand final won't be there this year. It is changing, but it is exciting for fans, Bulldogs fans and Waffle fans, to see Matthew Parker given permission to come back and play for the Bulldogs. Of course, picked up in the mid-season draft. How did this come about?
Yeah, look, it's a massive win for our footy club. It's come about one of our directors, our football director, Anthony van der Wielen, and he'd been having some conversations with the Richmond Footy Club. He's, of course, Marlon Pickett's player manager. So he, alongside Todd Curley, our senior coach, have some really good relationships in the Tigers camp. So we just, I guess, posed the question several weeks ago, would Matt be available for Waffle Finals if Richmond were no longer participating in the 2021 AFL season? And probably initially it was met with some resistance, which was no surprise to us, but some further conversations and deliberations, and it's a credit to the Richmond Footy Club, they've actually come around to the concept, to the point of us, receiving approval this week for Matt to play Waffle Finals. So it's outstanding.
So has he done his quarantine period and free to play this weekend?
Yeah, look, he's still in quarantine conditions, but available for the weekend. So he would become, I guess, just another player available for selection. That would be Todd Curley's wheelhouse rather than my own. But, if not this weekend, then certainly for our next week tour finals, we reckon he'd be good to go with a little bit of conditioning into him, because as we know, quarantine, you can't really do much in your living room. So, but the fact that he's available for deep finals, that's a huge outcome for South Fremantle.
Hey Cam, does it mean that Matt Parker is staying with the Richmond Football Club going forward? Does he know that yet? Because he was, as we all know, taken the mid-season rookie draft, and that meant that under the WAFL rules and regulations that they could return to their original club to participate in finals. Does that mean that he's coming back to South Fremantle? Does he know what his future looks like yet?
Look, my understanding of this agreement is that, it's a temporary release of Matt from his AFL contract to resume playing in the Waffle for finals. But there's every intent by Richmond to see Matt return on a new deal for 2022 plus. I think the specifics of that new deal, that new contract, aren't perhaps yet finalised, but the conversations all the way through the date is that Matt's a required player at Richmond next year. So that makes probably this outcome all the more special and all the more credit to Richmond for being so supportive of state league football.
Absolutely. Well done to them, because Connor West hasn't been let go from the West Coast Eagles, has he? But I think there's some injury concerns around him as the key reason.
Yeah, look, I believe so. I'm not hugely au fait on the details there, but my understanding is this ruling would certainly permit Connor to also, come back and play at West Perth. But I think there is an injury question mark above him. But no doubt, with this news today, I'm sure the hierarchy at West Perth will be making a few phone calls into Lathlane.
What about the health of the squad, mate, going into the finals? Is it looking better than it was last year? I know Brock Higgins is back and there are some decisions to be made in the ruck.
Yeah, there is. So we've had Hamish Free come on in his ruck duties this year, and he's been outstanding. We grabbed him from just playing down in Mandra at the start of last year, and he's a big young kid, really learning his craft as he goes, and he's just got better with every game. And with Brock getting injured, it gave Hamish opportunity, as we see in footy teams. But probably a selection dilemma. Brock came in last week against West Coast Waffle to get some match fitness and sort of re-establish himself as required for finals. So whether we can play both the big galloping fellas, I'm not too sure. Again, that's a Todd Curley one, but it's great. It's probably a nice problem to have, as I say. Great to have those options. And hope to win back skipper Dylan Mayne as well. He's been out for an extended period with some foot injury dramas. I think plantar fasciitis has been troubling him, but he's setting sails for a return in finals. So I think we'll be close to full strength and maybe with some selection table dilemmas, which again is always nice when you can sort of have those headaches trying to work out your best group.
Cam, I see that Dylan Mayne's going to be fronting tomorrow, as all the captains will. Lee Kitchen from Subiaco, Jack Loosley from Claremont, Naren Black from West Perth, Sam Fisher from Swan Districts. But just back to Mayne, what he should do with that fascia is just snap it, mate. I had that problem. It's like a stone bruise, continual stone bruise in your foot until you break it. It doesn't go away, but maybe he hasn't got that opportunity given, I know, grand final's just around the corner. On to something far more important. the Perth Glory deal that's been done to share the facilities. They're going to move into those old Dockers rooms and headquarters down there at Freo Oval. How's that going to work? Have you had much to do with the negotiation at all?
Yeah, so we're definitely involved in that, and we welcome Perth Glory down to Fremantle, the Glory in the Port City, as we're saying. So what's happened there is Perth Glory have been sharing facilities. I believe it's called Rugby House there in Mount Claremont, where the Force and Rugby WA are, but they're expanding. So the Glory have had the flick, effectively, at the end of this month, and we're looking for new accommodation. And that old Dockers building, as we call it, here at the Oval, is currently housing the City of Fremantle staff, but they're all moving into their new premises at King Square. So effectively that became available, and there was a need for the Glory to be rehoused. So that's a deal with them and the city. But where the South Fremantle Footy Club comes into calculations is that we're going to support Glory's inclusion to this precinct in the initial sense by sharing our gymnasium, change rooms, medical, physio type facilities on a commercial agreement with them. Plus, we're really hopeful that we'll see them bring some A-League pre-season content down to Freo on a Friday night, and maybe W-League too. So as we're all working very hard at the moment to try and stimulate some investment for redevelopment of the Oval, we think bringing, another sport and a different fan base only really strengthens all that work that we're doing.
Excellent idea. I like that. And I guess you like Todd Curley too, because he recently signed an extension.
He did, yeah. It's obviously been a busy time down here, and it feels like it too, but all really good positive news. So, yeah, TC was extended for 2 years, so the 22 and 23 seasons. Probably a bit of a formality, really. We have a really strong belief that Todd's the best coach in the Waffle. I think his track record shows that. We're trying to go back-to-back this year, subject to our form over the next 4 weeks. So it was suitable reward for Todd, and he's really been able to get our playing group into a shape that can contend, I guess, consistent finals. So that sort of sustainability of how we perform every year was really important, and we wanted to continue.
Appreciate your time tonight. Thank you very much. Take care, and we look forward to seeing your team in action on Saturday. Cheers.
All the best. Thank you.
Get down to Freo Oval, qualifying final, Saturday, September 11, 2:40 start, and looking forward to that contest. And we're also looking forward to the elimination final. We'll try and get into one of the competing teams, that game on Sunday, and a 2:40 start on September 12. And looking forward to our Waffle on Wednesday tomorrow at pretty much the same time as tonight here on Sports Day. We'll clear a commitment, come back soon. We'll get into some motorsport with Matt McKeldin next.
Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Time now for our motorsport update. Matt McKeldin joins us. Matty, welcome, mate. So much happening in the world of motorsport. Where do you want to start?
Oh, it's been a mental, probably 72 hours, really, I suppose, with the return of the Grand Prix of Holland, the Dutch Grand Prix. At the Zandvoort Circuit, won by local boy Max Verstappen. And boy, oh boy, didn't we see a crowd there. There was upwards of 100,000 people there over the few days, all dressed in orange, firing off orange flares. Unbelievable circuit, not great racing, but Maxi now takes over the lead in the championship. So we're set for a ripper second half of the year.
When you come to that scene, there's certainly, when you reflect back to the Netherlands, and they've had almost 2 million cases of coronavirus, mate, to see them all packed in together in a country of 17 million people, looks like they don't really care anymore.
I didn't see too many masks, I've got to say.
No,
they were partying. They had the DJs on at the front of the pits all weekend, which made it hard for the broadcasters because there was so much noise. But, man, they were hard up on the party front, let me tell you. I reckon Sunday night there would have been absolutely outstanding from a party point of view. But there has just been that kicked off the racing part for the return of Formula One. But I've got to tell you, because, of course, we just didn't have a race in Spa 2 weeks earlier because of the rain. So this really kicked off the second half of the season. But the silly season, boys, both in Supercar and Formula One from a driver's point of view, has gone absolutely mental in the last 24 hours.
Let's start with that. George Russell, he's landed alongside Lewis Hamilton at Mercedes. Any surprises there for you?
No, no big surprises there. And it really started 24 hours ago. Well, actually, it probably started a little bit earlier than that. At the start of the weekend, Kimi Raikkonen announced his retirement after nearly 20 years in Formula One. So the near 40-year-old now, he is retiring, which left a seat open at Alfa Romeo, of course. And all the scuttlebutt and rumour was who's going to take that seat. And then in the last 24 hours, Lewis Hamilton's Mercedes teammate, Valtteri Bottas, he was named at Alfa Romeo. Of course, that then left the door open to finally announce that young gun Britain driver George Russell will partner beside Lewis Hamilton for the foreseeable future. Is it a surprise? No, it's not a surprise. This kid's unbelievable. His qualifying lap at Spa at the last round, which is what got into his first podium, was one of the best laps we've seen in the modern times of Formula One. It was extraordinary in that Williams. So he is the future for that team. You know, we'd expect Lewis to probably retire at the end of next year, particularly if he wins the championship. He'll be the most successful driver of all time then. So I think he is definitely the way forward for that team. And AlphaTauri also renamed their two drivers again, Pierre Gasly and Yuki Tsunoda. They're moving forward as well. So the Grand Prix driver team combinations are slowly working their way through. But I mean, I'm glad for George. They need to look to the future, and he's a weapon driver.
What about the supercars, mate? Changes afoot there. Andre Holmgartner, he splits with Kelly Grove Racing, which could open the door for a young Kiwi.
Unbelievable. We'd heard rumours of this in the last couple of weeks, but nothing really started to come to fruition. And then, bang, whooshka, today, the bomb was dropped that you're right, Andre Hairdryer, he's, as we call him, he's out of Kelly Grove Racing. Predicted to land at Brad Jones Racing beside Nick Percat as well, which is, it kind of, again, it kicks off this potential domino effect of what's going to happen, because if he goes there, that means he's taken someone's seat at Brad Jones Racing, which at this stage we think is going to be Todd Hazelwood. He'll depart the team, leaving Macaulay Jones, Nick Percat, Jack Smith and Andre Heimgartner for the four cars at Brad Jones Racing. The other driver that we think is in a bit of strife as well is Jack LeBrock at Tickford Racing. We're predicting that Todd Hazelwood will probably go across to that as well. So that's just a big move. No one expected it that he was going to leave. And then the young fella who's looking at potentially coming into Kelly Grove Racing is a young bloke by the name of Matt Payne, a great talent. He's been in Carrera Cup. He's been signed to a junior driver at Kelly Grove Racing, which, by the way, will become Grove Racing. Now the Kellys have sold out in 2022. So we could see another young gun going into there. Brock Feeney, of course, has been named as Jamie Wincup's replacement as well. So literally the last 7 days in motorsport, even though there's been very little racing apart from in Formula One, has absolutely gone off.
Bit of news around the midweek racing in Sydney to get this season completed. Do you think that's a chance to happen?
Yeah, possibly. It's possibly a chance to happen. I do think we're going to get back to Sydney this year, to Sydney Motorsport Park. I think it's going to be a double, what we call now a double vaxxed event. You've got to be double, you've got to prove your double vaccination to actually go there. So yeah, I think we possibly could see that. I think we may even see back-to-back rounds there. We may see two rounds there, maybe one, maybe two. I also think that we're going to see two rounds at Queensland Raceway. Gold Coast is likely in the next 24, 48 hours to be named as cancelled. I don't think they're going to go ahead with the Gold Coast event. It's just too much risk to actually undertake a street circuit at this particular point in time. And I think we'll finish off at Bathurst. So we may see racing back in Sydney yet.
And looking forward to 2023, Canberra Street Race. Hasn't been there since 2002, I don't think. Do you think this will happen?
Yeah, well, we broke it on the driver's seat last Wednesday night that it's likely to happen. All the other major news reporting agencies then jumped all over it, and there's a lot of talk about it. It's a long way into the future. It's still in its infancy. But there's no reason that can't happen. As long as they don't schedule it like they did in the past iteration of the race, which was smack dab in the middle of winter, and it was freezing cold, which is what hurt the crowds. If they do schedule it at a more crowd-friendly climate, there's no reason that that race shouldn't go ahead. And if it does go ahead, boys, we will then actually be a full national championship because we'll be visiting every state and territory in Australia as we go through the championship.
Now, just over a week ago now, James Courtney copped some flack for his post on Instagram. Did you see his partner Tegan Woodford wearing the black negligee? And he posted the caption, "Could you at least pass me the spoon, babe?" He got some backlash. All the haters started getting into him.
Yeah, they did. And look, I'll be honest, I may have parked the peepers on Mrs. Courtney there looking through the Instagram. It was she's a fairly lovely-looking young lady. I'm not sure it's the right thing for JC to be throwing up on the Instagram. It was removed, but his partner is a model and all that kind of stuff. So, I would have thought JC at his age and his experience may have refrained from putting something like that up on Instagram.
Well, he thought it was funny. He thought it would make people laugh in the tough COVID times, given they were locked at home.
Well, that's exactly what he was doing. And haven't we seen wives and girlfriends in recent times on social media getting themselves into a bit of trouble? However, all I will say to James Courtney is, well played, sir. Well played.
Thank you very much for your time tonight. Well played to you. We appreciate having you on. Cheers, Matt.
Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Matt McKeldin there, our motorsport expert with all of the latest. There's been plenty going around. Speaking of experts, we'll get another one on the radio shortly. John Slavich for Baron O'Day, because the little things are everything.
Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Let's get into Baron O'Day's Green 2. Green, don't miss out on the little moments because the little things are everything. And as usual on a Tuesday, John Slavich joins us. Welcome, John.
G'day, mate. Thanks for having us.
Have you had a bowl in the last couple of days? Been beautiful weather all weekend. Was nice, and it's even continued on into the working week.
Yes, look, it's been very good out there on the greens. A lot of people are heading out and chucking a few down. I sort of struggle. I walk into the club with all the good intentions. I bring my bag, and then I get past the TAB in the bar, and next minute it's up by seven. So I should improve that one day, but yeah, I've been saying it for the past 30 years, but it hasn't happened yet.
Nah, well, you are a bloke who likes to enjoy a bit of fellowship with his friends, and we love that about you. Now, let's have a look at the men's and ladies' consistency singles. How have they been?
Yeah, look, consistency singles is traditionally the bit of a kickoff to the season before we get into pennants. So it's our first major event in Western Australia. It's been played for the past 40 years at the Mount Lawley Bowling Club. Great little spot there in Mount Lawley. And we've got the qualifying rounds for the men's and ladies. The men's are going to be on the 11th, 12th and the 17th. And we've got some big names in here, obviously, because it is the first big event for the year. Russell Bates and Cody Packer playing in September. Also, on the 11th, Ben Laggett and Corey Bazant, also from Mount Lawley in there. And the 12th of September, we've got Scotty O'Brien, Daniel Chiuella, Cameron Harris. And on the opposite side of the draw, Shane Knott. And on the 17th, we have Ryan Moyle, Conor Biddle, Gavin Faulkner, Dale Marsland. So there's a few big names and should be some great games there on for the men's. When the ladies are kicking off in between the men's on the 14th and 15th for the qualifying rounds. And we've got Lee Paletti in there, along with Adam Masters, Shine Smith, Oren Arndt, Kerry Anderson, and Lisa Featherby, just to mention a few. And it all concludes on the 19th, 20th and 21st of September. So if anyone wants to get down to the Mount Lawley over the next couple of weeks and support the bowls and everyone playing, it'd be good to see everyone.
Is there any more names you want to mention while you're at it? You're just about going through every bowler here in Western Australia there, Johnny.
Yeah, look, good clear head today. I haven't had a drink yet, so it's all good.
What about upcoming, mate? Any other local events happening?
Yeah, we've got one from the Nollamara Bowling Club. They've got their Spring Fours Carnival on Sunday, the 10th of October. It's $100 a team and includes lunch. There's three games of 12 and fours to any gender combination. Prize money is $1,000 for first, $600 for second, and $300 for third. So get onto the Nollamara Bowling Club website there and nominate your team. And this one's just for the ladies at the Pinjarra Bowling Club. They have an open pairs on the Wednesday, the 6th of October, 2021. $30 per team, three games of 12 and three bowls straight, 9 for a 9:30 start. So anyone looking for a drive and get out of the city, Pinjarra is going to be the place to be.
Beautiful, Johnny. Thank you very much for your time tonight. Take care. Looking forward to having a chat to you again next week.
Thanks, guys.
Good on you. John Slavich there for Barrandow Days Green to Green. Tomorrow, Mark Blixavs is going to join us from the Geelong Footy Club. We'll have Waffle on Wednesday, but straight after the 8 o'clock news, it's coming up next here on 882 6PR. It'll be Todd Johnston with the night shift. His number is 133 882. We'll see you from 6 tomorrow.